Except the Lord keep the city, they waketh in vain, they that watch over it. I want to always remember that no matter how incredible the ministry, or the mission, or the business being interviewed, it's all in vain if not for Him. Thanks for joining us for another Faith Horizons podcast. The purpose of a Faith Horizons podcast is to discover the kingdom of God in Kansas City, one conversation at a time. All right, well, welcome to another Faith Horizons podcast. I'm back with Steve Magnuson, and we're going to talk about one of the topics that really has him jazzed. I mean, I've heard him talk about this quite a few times, and so anyway, we're going to talk about the two foundations in everyone's life. And so, welcome, Steve.
Well, thank you very much.
Can you just introduce this topic? And I don't want to misstep on how I introduce this topic, but anyway.
Well, I mean, I think over the years, as I've begun to dig deep in, you know, things God's put on my heart, we talk a lot about foundations, yeah. Right? We want foundations. We want good foundations in people's lives. We want to lay a foundation. Paul talks about, you know, laying a foundation in people's lives, but a lot of times we don't talk about what those foundations are. Yeah. You have to have foundations. You have to have good foundations. The foundations have to be there. The foundations are what helps you make decisions.
Yeah.
But okay, nice. What are the foundations?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
What are
you talking about? Yeah. And so I believe that really foundation stones, you know, are found in everybody's life, Christian, non-Christian. And the two stones that make up a foundation everywhere are history and government.
Wow. How does that work?
I mean, it sounds strange, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, as we talk about this, I think you'll see that history and government make up the foundation of everything. It's the foundation of your life, your city, your nation, everything. History and government. Why? Because history is nothing more than your history with God, right?
Your history with God.
Your relationship with God or lack thereof. You know, has God been involved in your life? Do you have any understanding of God's involvement in your city, in your nation? He has been. God is a part of history. It's history. People call it His story, right? Whether you believe
his
it or
story,
not,
yeah.
Whether you like it or not, whether you see it or not, it's His story. He's the one that created history. He's the one that wrote history. He's the one that determined history. He's the one that moved history. History is His story, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so history, your history in God, your relationship with God or lack thereof will determine every decision you make. Because let's define a foundation, right? A foundation is something that you stand on,
right,
that determines every decision you make. It's a framework from which you make every decision.
And you're saying that our history with God is the framework.
One of the foundation stones. There's two of them, history and government.
Oh, wow.
And so history is one of the foundation stones that will shape every decision you make.
Wow.
If you believe that God is, you know, part of your history, or if you have a relationship with God, then it will change the way you make decisions. The other one is government, right? And so government, let's boil down government, make it really simple. Government is nothing more than your understanding of God and your obligation to submit to His authority.
Wow.
So government is God and His in your obligation or your requirement to submit to the authority of God.
Wow.
And so history, your relationship with God or lack thereof, and government, your idea of do I have to submit to God's authority, are the foundation stones in everybody's life.
And they're what you make decisions from.
They're what you make decisions from. And I'm not saying that, you know, only Christians have those foundations. If you're a non-Christian,
right,
you will make decisions based upon your history in God and your idea of whether you have to submit to God's authority.
Right.
You may be somebody who's been offended by the church, offended by Christians. You may be somebody that hates God. Your history in God may be very, very bad from your standpoint. And now every decision you make is tainted by your hatred for God. you may think that you don't have to submit to God. There isn't a God. I don't believe in God. God is nothing to me. I'm not submitting to him. I'm just going to do whatever I want. Well, every decision you make is framed by your idea of God's government. He's not a king in my life. He has no authority in my life. I get to do what I want. So you have defined government without God.
Yes.
And so that shapes your decision. You've defined your history without God, or with God in a negative way.
Right.
So that shapes your decisions. History and government shape every decision every single person makes.
God, that makes so much sense too. Yeah, so, you know, if we have a history in God and we believe that he is the ultimate authority, well, then it also really goes to our purpose for doing things.
Right. It goes to our purpose as Christians, but let's not get caught up in the idea that if you're not a Christian, you don't have a purpose.
No.
You just have a different purpose, right?
That's
so
true.
Somebody with bad foundations will make bad decisions, and they will make those decisions on purpose for a reason, to accomplish a goal and an objective.
Right.
So you can't say that that person doesn't have a purpose. That person's purpose is off. That person's purpose is evil. That person's purpose should be thwarted.
Right,
right. We should come against that purpose.
Right.
But he still has a purpose.
That is true. That is true. So, for us, you know, the fact that we have a history, or for Christians anyway, for established Christians, we have a history with God and in God, and we believe that he is our ultimate authority, you know, so then that really does define our purpose.
Right.
But you're saying, like, for a person who's a non-believer, you know, those are not the defining factors.
The God portion is still the defining factor.
Right.
Because a non-Christian person has two ideas about God.
Right?
Right. Either one, he hates God.
True.
And he has a history that somehow caused him to hate God.
Right.
And he has a rebellious spirit that causes him not to submit to God for whatever reason. And that hatred toward God by a non-Christian affects the decisions he makes, the things that he builds, the things that he does.
Right.
That's
right.
Still his foundation, history and government of God, you know, and his relationship to God. It just happens to be one of hatred.
Right.
Now, you take the other person, because there's two possibilities, a Christian who loves God, a non-Christian who hates God, and a non-Christian who's never thought of God in his life. Or thoughts of God have never impacted his life. He's ambivalent. It's like, whatever.
Right.
You know, God, don't really see him. Yeah. I mean, he's never helped pay my light bill. I'm not really sure he exists. My mom and dad never talked about him. That church seems weird. Everybody seems to be doing just fine without him. The people I like the best are the ones that don't love God anyway.
Right, right.
So, hey, you know, I just don't even really think about him. That person, history and government still affect every decision he makes, because his history and his idea of government are absent God. They're not a hatred of God, but they're an absence of God.
Right.
So he doesn't have, he makes his decisions based upon an idea of history and government that's without God. And so that shapes what he does. That shapes how, maybe he's somebody who decides, I'm going to do things on my own because nobody's here to help me. God's not going to help me. My friends I can't really trust, so I'm going to do it on my own. I'm just going to, he's not doing it out of hatred for God, but he's doing it out of an absence of God. And so now he's independent. He's self-reliant. He makes all of his decisions by himself, and he does everything. He's driven. He may be very successful.
Uh-huh.
Some of the most successful businessmen in the world were ones that, you know, grew up trying to prove to the world that they weren't a failure.
Right, right.
And they just gave themselves to a cause, to a purpose, without God. They didn't ask for anybody's help because I'm going to do it on my own. That's history and government without God that drives your decisions in life.
So what you're defining government as, and a lot of times people don't think of government, because like when I think about the word government, I'm thinking, you know, Congress, and I'm thinking of the Senate, and then the presidential wings, you know, those are all governmental
correct
spheres, you correct know what I mean? But when you're thinking of government, you're thinking of something that actually is an external item that we are submitting ourselves to.
Yes. It's an authority that you have an obligation to submit to.
Right.
So in other words, we all know
yeah
that God, as creator and king.
Right.
Every single person that has ever existed on the planet is required, whether they know it or not, to submit to God or face some pretty substantial consequences.
Right.
And so the authority of God, the government of God, the right of God to rule over the earth is never in question.
Right.
Right? And so he made us kings with him, so we have a role to play as Christians, and we can talk about that later, but we're focusing on God and government, because government is our obligation to submit to authority. Government is nothing more than authority.
So it's our obligation to submit to authority.
Right.
Right. And whether you go to Thailand or you go to Egypt or you go right. to another country.
Correct.
Or another city or another, you know,
correct.
Whatever.
Yeah.
There's an authority.
Correct. And so here in the state of Missouri.
Right.
In Kansas City.
Yeah.
I have an obligation to submit to the authority of Kansas City.
Right.
If I decide I don't like it and I want to rebel, there are consequences, whether their law is good or bad, there right. are consequences to rebelling against authority.
Right.
In Kansas City, in the state of Missouri, in the nation of the United States,
right.
you know,
right.
wherever you go. But what God is God is the King of Kings, the authority above all. There is nothing higher than God.
Okay. So God is the ultimate authority.
Right. And I've heard somebody say, when God looks up, there's nobody there. Right. I mean, it's like... So God is just, he's the highest, right? When God looks up, there's nobody there.
That's pretty good.
And so God is the ultimate authority. So all authority flows from the highest authority, right? Right? Remember what the centurion told Jesus. I am a man of authority and I'm a man under authority, right? So the only way we get authority is to get it from above.
Right.
You can't create your own authority.
Right.
It just doesn't, it doesn't work that
way. So, but with God, that's not true.
Because God is authority. He
right.
doesn't have love.
Right.
He doesn't have, he is love.
Yeah.
He is authority. All things flow from him.
Oh, wow.
And so all authority flows from him. He's the headwaters of the river.
Of authority.
Of authority, of justice,
of love, of peace,
everything.
Goodness, kindness.
That's yeah. why he said to Moses, what shall I tell the people? Who shall I say sent me? What did God answer?
I am.
I am. Wow. I am what? Well, yeah, I am.
Wow.
I am.
Wow.
Whatever you need, I am. And so God is the headwaters. And so authority flows from God. And God created levels of authority in the earth. He gave authority to people because he's sharing his authority. We're kings with him on this earth. And so all authority comes from God, and we have an obligation to obey authority.
Wow.
And so that's the idea of government. Government is the exercise of authority and our obligation to, because we talk about rights, right?
Right.
But so rights are actually something we should be less in, we shouldn't so easily increase the definition of rights or the category of rights, because with a right comes a duty. If I have a right to health care, then somebody has a duty to provide health care for me no matter what. So
right.
so if there's a right, if I have a right, somebody has a duty to provide it to me. So there's authority in government, right? They have a duty to govern,
right.
And I have a right or an obligation or something to respond to them. Rights and duties,
yeah.
right? If I have a right to be protected in my house, then the government has a duty to protect me in my house. If I have a right to be, you know, protected in my person, a right to life, then the government has a duty to protect life. That's why we have police.
So you're saying with rights comes a duty. So like that's why you don't want to create more rights, because then now you're going to create more duties.
Correct.
That you have to fulfill.
Right. And so God is the ultimate source of everything. And we draw upon him and his authority when we respond to that authority with an obligation to obey, right? So
yeah.
In other words, government has an authority, and the people have an obligation to obey that authority.
Yeah. So I was thinking, you know, like, for instance, you know, when England would attack another, you know, another country, you know, way back when, you know, when they would go in and they would try to bring in their government into another region, you know what I mean? And right. Their governmental rule, or even Rome. I mean, Rome would be even a better example of that. They clearly did that pretty well.
Right.
And but you know, take Rome versus England, for instance. They're a little different because England would come in and try to like change everything to what they had, you know, whereas Rome would kind of come and work with an existing government and then create a law structure based off of that. So I guess what I was trying to see is, you know, it doesn't always work to bring the exact government of one nation into another right away.
That's correct. And so that's absolutely true.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I couldn't take the rulership of America and take it to, you know, a village in Africa and say, this is what we're going to do.
Right. And I think one of the reasons for that is because every single government on the earth has a mixture of ideas.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm saying, like, we couldn't take that because their history, like, you're talking about their history has not allowed them to submit to whatever that government is, you know?
Right. But the only government that is without mixture is the government of God.
Is the government of God. So that's the difference. That's right. The difference maker.
Which means his government is able to be fixed, uniform, and universal. It's fixed. It never changes.
Didn't change.
It's uniform. It's the same in every nation, every place, everywhere. It's not different in, you know, in Europe and Africa and, you know, Asia. And it's fixed, uniform, and universal. It's meaning it's universal, it's everywhere, and it's for all times.
Right.
Right. So fixed means that it never changes. Uniform means it never changes over generations. It's not, you know, the principles of God's government aren't different now than they were in Paul's day. And it's universal means it applies to everywhere.
Yeah. So this, these are the two foundations is basically how our history with God, you know, what we're talking about here, and then whether we believe we have to submit to his authority.
Right.
And so those are the two things that have to do with God, but that those two foundations are true whether or not a person's Christian or non-Christian, and they're also true for American government because the American has a governmental system, and so I have a history with America's government,
right?
And I don't maybe agree with certain things about those things, but I still submit to the authority of the government because I believe the government came from God. But that's because I believe the government came from God. So those are still helping me. Helping me make the correct decision.
Right. And if you can parse out, you know, the godly principles in, you know, your government, in your structure, then you'll be able to see the kingdom of God pieces in it.
That's true.
And you'll be able to separate things, right? And so that's why I say, you know, it's a foundational principle, your history in God and your idea of submitting to God's government are the foundational principles in a city, in a nation. If a city like Kansas City has no positive history in God and has no idea or understanding of submitting to God's authority, that city will look very different than if it had a positive history,
right?
So a negative history in God and a positive history in God result in a completely different city, results in a completely different nation.
Right.
And so what we need to do is we need to understand these are the foundation stones. If you want to know why your nation, you know, looks like it does, then you trace its history in God and its idea of submitting to God's authority. And that will determine, that will tell you exactly why your nation is off.
That's so crazy. I mean, these are such a, so these are like, this is like the epicenter of decisions right here.
Yes. It's wherever, whether you know it or not, your decision for yourself, your decision for your city, your decision for your nation, every single decision made, the Congress of the United States makes decisions based upon their understanding of their history with God and their obligation to submit to God's authority. Every single decision comes from that. Congress, every legislature, every president, every king makes a decision based upon those two factors because they are foundations in every person, every city, every nation.
Over.